Introduction to Developing Neurofeedback Training Protocols. The field of neurofeedback has undergone significant evolution over the past several decades, driven by the pursuit of innovative methods to enhance brain function. At its core, neurofeedback is a powerful tool for self-regulation, helping individuals achieve greater control over their mental and physiological states. However, to harness its potential, a clear understanding of the term protocol is essential. This introduction explores the foundational aspects of neurofeedback training protocols, beginning with their broad definitions and progressing toward their specific applications in clinical and research settings. Overview of neurofeedback protocols. Protocols are central to neurofeedback's ability to create meaningful change. Simply put, a protocol is a structured plan designed to guide training sessions. In neurofeedback, protocols outline the steps necessary to achieve specific outcomes by applying the principles of operant conditioning. For example, when a client is trained to modify brainwave patterns, the protocol serves as a blueprint, detailing the target frequencies, sensor placement, and criteria for reinforcement. This systematic approach ensures consistency while tailoring interventions to individual needs. The history of protocol development is steeped in scientific exploration. Early researchers discovered patterns in the EEG that could be influenced through feedback, creating the foundation for the first protocols. Over time, these protocols were refined, incorporating insights from psychology, neuroscience, and bioengineering. Today, protocols represent the culmination of decades of interdisciplinary collaboration, offering both structure and flexibility for addressing a wide range of conditions. However, despite their critical role, protocols are not static. They continue to evolve as new discoveries emerge. This dynamism enables practitioners to tailor protocols to meet the unique needs of clients, ensuring that neurofeedback remains a cutting-edge tool for enhancing mental health and performance. Definitions of protocols. Understanding the term protocol requires examining its multiple dimensions. A general definition describes a protocol as a set of instructions designed to teach proficiency through practice and feedback. This aligns well with the goals of neurofeedback, where training fosters improved cognitive and emotional regulation. By this definition, a protocol is akin to a lesson plan, guiding both the trainer and trainee toward success. In contrast, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, offers a more medically oriented definition. According to the NIH, a protocol is a detailed plan of a scientific or medical experiment, treatment, or procedure. This definition emphasizes rigor and specificity, highlighting the need for clear objectives and measurable outcomes. It is particularly relevant in clinical neurofeedback, where the stakes are high and interventions must be evidence-based. While these definitions differ in focus, they share common ground in their emphasis on planning and precision. Both underscore the importance of tailoring protocols to the individual, ensuring that training is not only effective but also safe. The dual perspectives provided by these definitions enrich our understanding of what protocols are and how they function within the broader context of neurofeedback. General definition. The general definition of a protocol offers a user-friendly framework for understanding neurofeedback. Imagine a protocol as a roadmap. It guides practitioners and clients through the complex terrain of brain training, ensuring that both stay on track. This roadmap includes clear milestones, such as achieving a change in a specific brainwave pattern or improving a behavioral outcome, and offers strategies for overcoming obstacles. For example, in training aimed at reducing anxiety, a protocol might target alpha brainwave activity, associated with relaxation and focus. By systematically reinforcing increases in alpha activity, the protocol helps clients achieve a calmer state of mind. Such applications illustrate the practical utility of a general definition, making neurofeedback accessible to professionals and laypersons. However, this approach is not without its challenges. Simplifying protocols for ease of use can sometimes lead to oversights. Practitioners may fail to consider individual differences, applying one-size-fits-all solutions that lack the nuance needed for optimal results. This tension highlights the need for balance. Protocols must be user-friendly and adaptable to the complexities of human behavior. NIH definition. The NIH definition of a protocol introduces a layer of sophistication, emphasizing the scientific rigor that underpins neurofeedback. This perspective is particularly important in research settings, where protocols serve as the foundation for experimental design. A well-crafted protocol not only guides the study, but also ensures its replicability, allowing other researchers to validate findings. In clinical practice, the NIH definition underscores the need for detailed planning. For instance, when using neurofeedback to treat ADHD, a protocol might specify the target brainwave frequencies, such as increasing beta activity and reducing theta, the duration of each session, and the criteria for success. These details provide a framework for consistent implementation, ensuring that the intervention is both effective and ethical. Moreover, the NIH definition highlights the importance of transparency. By clearly outlining the steps involved in a protocol, practitioners can communicate their methods to clients, colleagues, and regulatory bodies. This openness fosters trust and accountability, critical components of any therapeutic relationship. Comparing the definitions. While the general and NIH definitions of protocols differ in scope, they complement each other, offering a holistic view of neurofeedback training. The general definition provides a practical starting point, emphasizing accessibility and ease of use. Meanwhile, the NIH definition adds depth, highlighting the importance of rigor and specificity. Together, these definitions capture the dual nature of neurofeedback. It is both an art and a science. Practitioners must balance intuition with evidence, adapting protocols to meet individual needs while adhering to established guidelines. This interplay between flexibility and structure is what makes neurofeedback such a powerful tool for personal growth and healing. The role of protocols in neurofeedback. Protocols are the backbone of neurofeedback training, providing the structure necessary for meaningful change. They translate abstract concepts into actionable steps, making complex processes like brainwave modulation accessible to clients and practitioners alike. By offering a clear framework, protocols reduce uncertainty and increase the likelihood of success. At the same time, protocols encourage innovation. By experimenting with different approaches, practitioners can refine their methods, discovering what works best for each client. This iterative process drives the evolution of neurofeedback, ensuring that it remains responsive to emerging needs and challenges. The future of protocol development. As our understanding of the brain deepens, the development of neurofeedback protocols will continue to advance. Emerging technologies, such as real-time brain imaging and machine learning, hold promise for creating more precise and personalized protocols. These innovations could revolutionize neurofeedback, making it even more effective and accessible. However, with these advances come new responsibilities. Practitioners must remain vigilant, ensuring that protocols are both evidence-based and ethically sound. This requires ongoing education and collaboration, fostering a community of professionals committed to the highest standards of care. The introduction to neurofeedback protocols reveals their pivotal role in bridging the gap between science and practice. Whether defined in general terms or through the lens of the NIH, protocols provide the structure necessary for success. They embody the dual nature of neurofeedback, combining the rigor of science with the creativity of art. As we look to the future, the continued refinement of protocols will ensure that neurofeedback remains a transformative tool for individuals and communities alike. History of neurofeedback training protocols. The journey of neurofeedback training protocols is both a tale of scientific ingenuity and a chronicle of profound exploration into the brain's ability to regulate itself. From humble beginnings in laboratory experiments to its current widespread applications, neurofeedback has evolved dramatically over the decades. This section takes us through the history of neurofeedback, highlighting the pivotal contributions of its early pioneers, their groundbreaking discoveries, and the gradual refinement of protocols that now guide practitioners in helping individuals achieve mental clarity, emotional stability, and enhanced self-regulation. Early research in neurofeedback. The history of neurofeedback cannot be separated from the development of electroencephalography, EEG, a technology first introduced by Hans Berger in 1929. Berger's discovery of electrical activity in the brain and its rhythmic oscillations marked the dawn of modern neuroscience. While initially dismissed by some as irrelevant noise, Berger's work revealed a fundamental insight. Brainwaves are not random, but reflect the brain's functional states. Over time, EEG allowed researchers to observe how specific brainwave frequencies correspond to different mental and physical conditions. By the mid-20th century, researchers began to wonder if it was possible to influence these brainwaves deliberately. Could individuals be trained to modify their neural activity? If so, what would this mean for mental health and human potential? This question was taken up by Joe Camilla, who pioneered the study of voluntary brainwave control in the 1950s and 1960s. Camilla's work with the alpha rhythm, a frequency associated with calm and relaxation, was transformative. He demonstrated that individuals could increase alpha activity through auditory feedback, showing that the brain's electrical activity could be consciously influenced. This discovery not only validated Berger's early observations, but also set the stage for neurofeedback as a method of self-regulation. Joe Camilla's contributions. Joe Camilla's work was revolutionary not just for its outcomes, but also for its methodology. In his early experiments, participants reclined comfortably in a quiet room while a tone provided real-time feedback on their brain's alpha activity. Initially, the task seemed abstract. Participants were asked to signal when they believed they were producing alpha waves. Remarkably, many were able to develop a sense of when they were in an alpha state, even without external cues. Camilla's introduction of feedback tones, however, made the process more accessible, allowing participants to learn to increase their alpha activity consciously. What made Camilla's findings so compelling was the subjective experience reported by participants. Many described feelings of deep relaxation and an almost meditative state while producing alpha waves. These accounts hinted at the therapeutic potential of neurofeedback. If increasing alpha activity could induce calmness, could this approach be used to treat anxiety, stress, or even insomnia? Camilla's studies opened the door to these possibilities. However, Camilla's work also highlighted the variability in neurofeedback responses. Not all participants found it easy to learn alpha control, and some struggled to replicate their success outside the controlled laboratory setting. These challenges underscored the complexity of brainwave training and hinted at the need for more refined protocols and individualized approaches. Despite these obstacles, Camilla's contributions were foundational, inspiring a generation of researchers to explore the brain's capacity for self-regulation further. Barry Sterman's work with SMR. While Camilla focused on alpha waves, Barry Sterman took a different path, investigating the sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, a frequency band between 12 and 15 hertz associated with stillness and focused attention. Sterman's research began in the 1960s with a serendipitous discovery while studying the sleep-wake cycles of cats. He observed distinct EEG patterns during states of relaxed alertness, particularly in the sensorimotor cortex, a region involved in integrating sensory input and motor control. Sterman's experiments demonstrated that cats could be trained to produce SMR activity through operant conditioning. By rewarding the animals with food whenever they generated SMR, he showed that this rhythm could be voluntarily modulated. This was a groundbreaking finding, as it suggested that specific brainwave patterns could be deliberately trained for improved self-regulation. Sterman's most influential contribution came when he applied SMR training to humans with epilepsy. In one of his early studies, a participant with intractable seizures showed a dramatic reduction in seizure frequency after training to enhance SMR activity. This work provided compelling evidence of neurofeedback's clinical potential and laid the groundwork for its application in treating neurological disorders. Sterman's research remains a cornerstone of neurofeedback, demonstrating the profound impact that targeted brainwave training can have on brain health and function. The evolution of alpha and SMR protocol. The foundational work of Camilla and Sterman gave rise to two distinct traditions in neurofeedback: alpha training for relaxation and SMR training for self-regulation. Over time, these protocols were refined and adapted for a variety of conditions, reflecting the growing understanding of their mechanisms and applications. Alpha training gained popularity among individuals seeking relief from anxiety, stress, and even creative blocks. By teaching clients to increase alpha activity, practitioners could help them enter states of calm and focus, fostering greater mental clarity and emotional balance. Meanwhile, SMR training became a mainstay for conditions like epilepsy, ADHD, and sleep disorders. Its ability to enhance self-regulation and stabilize brain function made it a valuable tool for addressing neurological challenges. As practitioners gained experience, they began to combine alpha and SMR training, recognizing that different frequencies could address different aspects of mental and physical health. This integrative approach reflected the brain's complexity and the interconnectedness of its various functions. By tailoring protocols to the individual, practitioners could maximize the effectiveness of neurofeedback interventions, paving the way for its broader adoption in clinical and personal development contexts. Breakthroughs in clinical applications. The 1970s and 1980s marked a period of rapid growth in neurofeedback's clinical applications. Researchers explored how protocols could be adapted for specific populations, from children with ADHD to veterans with PTSD. These studies underscored the importance of individualized training, as no single protocol could address the diverse needs of all clients. One of the most innovative developments during this time was the creation of alpha-theta training by Eugene Peniston and Paul Kolkoski. This protocol combined alpha feedback with theta training, 4 to 8 Hz, creating a deeply relaxed yet focused state often described as a waking dream. Alpha-theta training proved especially effective in addiction treatment, helping clients access and resolve deeply buried emotional trauma. This groundbreaking work demonstrated the versatility of neurofeedback, showcasing its potential for addressing complex psychological challenges. Simultaneously, practitioners began experimenting with new protocols tailored to other conditions, such as chronic pain, traumatic brain injury, and learning disorders. These efforts expanded the scope of neurofeedback, making it a valuable tool for addressing both mental and physical health challenges. Challenges and controversies. Despite its promise, neurofeedback has faced numerous challenges and controversies. Early practitioners often struggled with inconsistent results, as individual differences in brain activity made it difficult to standardize protocols. Additionally, the lack of rigorous scientific validation for some approaches led to skepticism within the broader medical community. Technical limitations also posed significant hurdles. Early EEG equipment was often bulky and imprecise, making it difficult to provide real-time feedback or capture subtle changes in brain activity. These limitations underscored the need for ongoing innovation in neurofeedback technology and methodology. Another challenge was the tension between science and practice. While practitioners celebrated neurofeedback's transformative potential, researchers called for more robust studies to establish its efficacy. This debate continues to shape the field today, driving efforts to refine protocols and validate their outcomes. Legacy and future directions. The history of neurofeedback is a testament to the power of curiosity, creativity, and collaboration. From Kamiya's alpha experiments to Sturman's SMR training, the field has been shaped by individuals who dare to explore the unknown. Their contributions have laid the groundwork for modern neurofeedback, inspiring practitioners and researchers to continue pushing the boundaries of what is possible. As technology advances, the future of neurofeedback holds even greater promise. Emerging tools like real-time fMRI and machine learning are poised to revolutionize protocol development, enabling more precise and personalized training. These innovations will build on the legacy of early researchers, ensuring that neurofeedback remains a cutting-edge tool for mental health and human potential. Through this rich history, we see not only the evolution of a scientific discipline, but also the enduring human quest to understand and improve the mind. The pioneering spirit that drove early neurofeedback research continues to inspire new generations, reminding us that the pursuit of knowledge is both a journey and a destination. Difficulties in establishing efficacy. The efficacy of neurofeedback training has long been a topic of both excitement and debate. While numerous anecdotal reports and individual success stories suggest that neurofeedback has transformative potential, establishing its scientific validity has proven to be a complex challenge. This section delves into the primary difficulties faced by researchers and practitioners in proving the effectiveness of neurofeedback, including the variability in client responses, methodological limitations, and the interplay of confounding factors. Limitations of research. One of the most significant challenges in establishing the efficacy of neurofeedback lies in the limitations of research methodologies. Early studies often lacked the rigorous controls necessary to draw definitive conclusions. For instance, many studies relied on small sample sizes, making it difficult to generalize results to broader populations. Additionally, some research designs failed to include control groups or placebo conditions, leaving room for skepticism about whether observed changes were truly attributable to neurofeedback or merely the result of other factors, such as placebo effects or spontaneous remission. Moreover, the diversity of neurofeedback protocols further complicates research efforts. Unlike pharmacological studies, where a standardized dose of medication can be tested across participants, neurofeedback protocols are often highly individualized. This variability, while essential for tailoring treatments to clients' unique needs, makes it challenging to compare results across studies or consistently replicate findings. Consequently, even well-designed studies may struggle to produce clear, reproducible evidence of efficacy. Another limitation is the reliance on subjective outcomes. Many neurofeedback studies measure success based on self-reported improvements in symptoms such as anxiety, focus, or mood. While these reports are valuable, they can be influenced by bias, expectation, or other external factors. Objective measures, such as neuroimaging or performance-based tasks, are more reliable but often require expensive equipment and specialized expertise, limiting their widespread use in research. Factors for effective training. Beyond research limitations, the effectiveness of neurofeedback training is influenced by a host of factors that can vary widely between clients. One major variable is individual neurophysiology. Just as no two brains are exactly alike, no two individuals respond to neurofeedback in the same way. Factors such as age, baseline brain activity, and overall health can significantly impact training outcomes, making it difficult to predict who will benefit and to what extent. Client motivation and engagement also play a critical role. Neurofeedback is a process that requires active participation and commitment over multiple sessions. Clients who are highly motivated and engaged in the training process are more likely to see positive results. Conversely, those who are skeptical or disinterested may struggle to achieve the same outcomes, even with identical protocols. This is another factor that differentiates neurofeedback research from pharmacological studies. Neurofeedback is a training and educational process that requires the acquisition of complex skills. Pharmacological research applies chemical agents as treatments that require no skill acquisition, merely passive participation on the part of the subject. The skill and experience of the practitioner are equally important. Designing and implementing effective neurofeedback protocols requires a comprehensive understanding of neuroscience, as well as the ability to interpret EEG data accurately. Inexperienced practitioners may misinterpret signals or apply inappropriate protocols, resulting in suboptimal outcomes. This underscores the importance of thorough training and certification for neurofeedback professionals. The role of confounding variables. Another challenge in establishing efficacy is the influence of confounding variables. These are factors that may contribute to observed outcomes, but are not directly related to the neurofeedback intervention itself. For example, clients undergoing neurofeedback are often simultaneously engaged in other therapies, such as counseling, medication, or lifestyle changes. These concurrent interventions can make it difficult to isolate the specific effects of neurofeedback. The therapeutic environment itself can also act as a confounder. Simply participating in a structured, supportive program may provide benefits, regardless of the specific intervention. This is known as the nonspecific effect and is a common challenge in behavioral and psychological research. To address this, researchers must carefully design studies that control for these factors, such as using placebo or sham neurofeedback conditions. Additionally, the natural progression of certain conditions can complicate efficacy studies. Some disorders, such as ADHD, may show improvements over time due to developmental changes or external influences independent of neurofeedback. Without robust controls, it becomes difficult to determine whether improvements are a result of the training or simply the passage of time. Research design is another potential source of confounding variables. Several published studies employed a technique known as automatic threshold setting, or auto-thresholding, to conduct the active experimental portion of a randomized, blinded, placebo-controlled study. Unfortunately, the researchers appear to have been unfamiliar with the principles of operant conditioning, as automatic threshold setting provides a constant and consistent reward that is not contingent upon a measured change in EEG activity. For example, thresholds are commonly set to provide positive feedback 60% of the time. Nothing the client does will change the percentage of positive feedback they receive. The client could be asleep and still receive positive feedback at the same rate. This is essentially another placebo condition that does not reward behavior change, but provides sound and/or visual stimuli. The results of these studies showed that the experimental neurofeedback condition was essentially the same as the placebo condition, a correct finding given that both conditions were placebo and there was no training or skill acquisition. These studies were published in reputable journals, and it is clear that neither the journal editors nor the reviewers understood either neurofeedback or operant conditioning to a sufficient degree to catch these errors and prevent publication. Placebo effects in neurofeedback. The placebo effect is a particularly thorny issue in neurofeedback research. When clients believe they are receiving a beneficial intervention, they may report improvements simply due to their expectations. This phenomenon can be especially pronounced in neurofeedback, where the use of sophisticated equipment and scientific terminology may enhance the perceived credibility of the treatment. Sham neurofeedback studies have been designed to address this issue. In these studies, participants receive feedback that is unrelated to their actual brain activity, serving as a placebo condition. However, even this approach has limitations. For instance, participants who are familiar with neurofeedback may recognize the lack of real-time feedback in sham conditions, potentially biasing results. Additionally, the ethical implications of providing a placebo to clients with genuine needs must be carefully considered. Despite these challenges, the placebo effect is not inherently negative. In fact, it highlights the importance of belief and expectation in therapeutic outcomes. By fostering a positive and supportive environment, practitioners can maximize the potential benefits of neurofeedback, regardless of whether these effects are directly attributable to the intervention or the client's mindset. Variability in outcomes. The variability in neurofeedback outcomes is another significant barrier to establishing efficacy. While some clients report life-changing improvements, others experience little to no benefit. This inconsistency can be discouraging for both clients and practitioners and poses a challenge for researchers seeking to identify universal principles of effectiveness. One reason for this variability is the complexity of the brain itself. Neurofeedback targets specific neural processes, but these processes are influenced by a myriad of factors, including genetics, environment, and past experiences. Even when targeting the same brainwave frequency, the effects of training can differ dramatically from one person to another. Another factor is the lack of consensus on optimal training protocols. With so many approaches to neurofeedback, from alpha-theta training to Z-score-based protocols, it can be difficult to determine which methods are most effective for specific conditions. This diversity of techniques reflects the flexibility of neurofeedback, but also contributes to the uncertainty surrounding its efficacy. Advancing the evidence base. Despite these challenges, significant progress has been made in advancing the evidence base for neurofeedback. Modern studies are increasingly adopting rigorous methodologies, including randomized controlled trials, RCTs, larger sample sizes, and sophisticated statistical analyses. These efforts are helping to clarify the effectiveness of neurofeedback for specific conditions, such as ADHD, anxiety, and epilepsy. One promising development is the use of standardized protocols, which allow for more consistent comparisons across studies. For example, researchers investigating neurofeedback for ADHD often use well-defined protocols that target specific brainwave patterns, such as increasing beta activity and reducing theta activity. This standardization has yielded more robust evidence of efficacy and has helped build confidence in neurofeedback's therapeutic potential. Another advancement is the integration of neuroimaging techniques, such as functional MRI, fMRI, and magnetoencephalography, MEG, which provide objective measures of brain activity. By combining neurofeedback with these cutting-edge tools, researchers can gain deeper insights into how training impacts the brain and validate its mechanisms of action. The path forward. Looking ahead, the path to establishing neurofeedback's efficacy lies in continued research, collaboration, and innovation. Addressing the challenges outlined here will require a multifaceted approach involving researchers, practitioners, and clients alike. By refining research methodologies, standardizing protocols, and embracing emerging technologies, the field can build a more compelling case for neurofeedback as a scientifically validated intervention. At the same time, practitioners must remain vigilant in their efforts to ensure ethical and effective practice. This includes ongoing education, adherence to evidence-based guidelines, and a commitment to transparency with clients. By fostering a culture of accountability and excellence, the neurofeedback community can enhance its credibility and expand its impact. Ultimately, the difficulties in establishing efficacy are not insurmountable obstacles, but opportunities for growth and improvement. Each challenge represents a chance to deepen our understanding of neurofeedback and its potential to transform lives. Through perseverance and collaboration, the field can continue to advance, bringing the benefits of neurofeedback to those who need it most. Primary schools of thought in neurofeedback training. The field of neurofeedback is built upon the ingenuity, creativity, and dedication of pioneers who sought to harness the power of brainwave modulation for healing and growth. These early innovators established the foundational schools of thought that continue to influence neurofeedback practice today. Each school represents a unique perspective on how neurofeedback can be used to enhance mental health, improve cognitive function, and promote emotional well-being. By examining the contributions of these visionaries in greater depth, we gain insight into how their ideas and methods shape the evolution of neurofeedback. Margaret Ayers and the early foundations of neurofeedback. Margaret Ayers is often celebrated as one of the earliest practitioners of neurofeedback, and her work laid the groundwork for many of the field's guiding principles. Ayers' clinical approach was characterized by meticulous observation and a focus on identifying subtle, abnormal patterns in the EEG. Her method emphasized precision, as she believed that the success of neurofeedback relied on tailoring protocols to address each client's specific neural imbalances. One of Ayers' key areas of focus were traumatic brain injury, TBI. At a time when options for treating TBI were limited, Ayers used neurofeedback to target excessive slow-wave activity in individuals with cognitive and emotional impairments. By designing protocols to reduce theta activity, a hallmark of neurological dysfunction, she helped clients achieve improvements in focus, mood regulation, and overall cognitive performance. Her work demonstrated that even severe neurological conditions could respond to neurofeedback, underscoring the brain's inherent plasticity. Perhaps Ayers' most groundbreaking work involved patients in comas. She used neurofeedback to stimulate neural activity in individuals who were thought to be in irreversible vegetative states. Her interventions resulted in measurable changes, including increased responsiveness and, in some cases, partial recovery of cognitive functions. These cases not only underscored the potential of neurofeedback to restore function, but also challenged prevailing assumptions about the limits of recovery in severe brain injury. In addition to her clinical achievements, Ayers championed the idea that neurofeedback must be highly personalized to be effective. She emphasized the importance of analyzing each client's unique EEG patterns and designing interventions that address their specific needs. This philosophy continues to influence modern neurofeedback, underscoring the importance of individualized care in achieving optimal outcomes. Joel Luber and the focus on ADHD. Joel Luber is one of the most influential figures in neurofeedback, particularly for his work on attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. Luber's groundbreaking research, built upon Barry Sternman's earlier work with SMR training, explored how neurofeedback could help individuals with ADHD improve focus, control impulsivity, and enhance executive function. His contributions not only expanded the understanding of ADHD, but also established neurofeedback as a leading intervention for this condition. Luber's work revealed a distinctive neural signature in individuals with ADHD, an imbalance characterized by excessive theta, slow wave, activity, and reduced beta, fast wave, activity. This imbalance is associated with difficulty sustaining attention, regulating impulses, and managing tasks that require sustained mental effort. Luber developed protocols to target this imbalance, training clients to increase beta activity and decrease theta activity. His results were impressive, showing marked improvements in behavior, academic performance, and self-regulation. A hallmark of Luber's research was his rigorous use of the ABA, baseline treatment baseline, design, which provided robust evidence for the efficacy of his protocols. By demonstrating that improvements in behavior coincided with neurofeedback training and declined when training ceased, Luber made a compelling case for the therapeutic potential of neurofeedback. His work not only validated neurofeedback as an intervention for ADHD, but also inspired further research into its applications for other cognitive and behavioral disorders. Luber also played a key role in promoting evidence-based practice in neurofeedback. He emphasized the importance of using scientific methodologies to validate protocols and encourage practitioners to adopt a data-driven approach. Today, his protocols remain a cornerstone of ADHD treatment, and his commitment to rigorous research continues to influence the field. Vincent Monastra and the theta/beta ratio. Vincent Monastra expanded upon Luber's work by introducing the concept of the theta/beta ratio as a diagnostic and training tool for ADHD. Monastra's research demonstrated that the ratio of theta to beta activity in the EEG could serve as a reliable marker for identifying ADHD. This innovation not only improved the diagnostic process, but also informed the development of more targeted neurofeedback protocols. Monastra's work demonstrated that individuals with ADHD often exhibit a high theta to beta ratio, indicating an overactive default mode network, theta, and an underactive task positive network, beta. By training clients to normalize this ratio, Monastra was able to help them improve attention, reduce impulsivity, and enhance overall cognitive function. His protocols were particularly effective for children and adolescents, providing a non-invasive alternative to medication. In addition to his contributions to diagnosis and treatment, Monastra emphasized the importance of integrating neurofeedback with other interventions. He argued that while neurofeedback could address neural dysregulation, additional supports such as behavioral therapy, educational accommodations, and family involvement were often necessary to achieve lasting results. This holistic approach highlighted the multifaceted nature of ADHD and the need for comprehensive care. Monastra's work also highlighted the importance of utilizing quantitative EEG, QEG data to inform neurofeedback practice. By basing protocols on objective measures, he demonstrated how data-driven approaches could enhance precision and effectiveness. His contributions continue to shape how practitioners assess and treat ADHD, making him a key figure in the evolution of neurofeedback. Susan and Siegfried Othmeyer, innovators in flexibility. Susan and Siegfried Othmeyer have been instrumental in advancing neurofeedback by focusing on innovation, accessibility, and adaptability. Their journey began when they sought neurofeedback treatment for their son, who suffered from temporal lobe epilepsy. The profound improvements they observed ignited their passion for the field, leading them to develop new methodologies and protocols that have since been adopted worldwide. The Othmeyers introduced the concept of optimal response frequency, ORF, training, which involves dynamically adjusting the target frequency band during sessions to optimize outcomes. This approach represented a departure from traditional fixed frequency protocols, reflecting their belief in the importance of tailoring neurofeedback to each client's unique needs. ORF training has been particularly effective for addressing conditions such as anxiety, depression, and trauma, where individual variability often plays a significant role. Another major innovation was their development of infralow frequency, ILF, training, which targets brain activity below 0.1 Hz. While initially controversial, ILF training has gained widespread recognition for its ability to address a range of conditions, including chronic pain, PTSD, and developmental disorders. The Othmer's willingness to explore unconventional approaches exemplifies the spirit of innovation that drives the neurofeedback field. In addition to their clinical contributions, the Othmers have been dedicated educators. Through workshops, training programs, and online resources, they have made neurofeedback more accessible to practitioners worldwide. Their efforts have helped ensure that their methods are not only effective but also widely available, fostering the growth of the field on a global scale. Mark Smith and infraslow frequency training. Mark Smith's work represents a significant evolution in neurofeedback, particularly through his focus on infraslow frequency, ISF, training. Like the Othmers, Smith recognized the potential of targeting ultra-low frequency brain activity to promote self-regulation and healing. However, his approach emphasized phase-based feedback, which focuses on the timing of neural oscillations rather than their amplitude. Smith's ISF protocols have been especially effective for conditions such as depression, autism spectrum disorders, and chronic fatigue. By training clients to regulate the phase relationships of infraslow frequencies, Smith has helped them achieve greater emotional stability, improved sleep, and enhanced cognitive performance. His work highlights the potential of neurofeedback to address complex conditions that are often resistant to traditional treatments. One of Smith's most notable contributions is his integration of ISF training with Z-score neurofeedback, which uses normative EEG databases to guide training. This combination allows practitioners to address both localized dysregulation and broader neural networks, providing a comprehensive approach to brain training. Smith's work exemplifies the potential of neurofeedback to evolve through the integration of diverse methodologies. Smith has also been a vocal advocate for advancing the scientific understanding of neurofeedback. He has emphasized the need for rigorous research to validate new protocols and has collaborated with other leaders in the field to refine best practices. His contributions continue to shape the direction of neurofeedback, ensuring that it remains a dynamic and evidence-based discipline. Conclusion: the primary schools of thought in neurofeedback reflect the creativity, determination, and scientific rigor of the field's pioneers. Each figure, Margaret Ayers, Joel Luber, Vincent Monastra, Susan and Siegfried Othmer, and Mark Smith brought a unique perspective that has enriched neurofeedback practice. Their contributions demonstrate the power of innovation and the enduring quest to harness the brain's potential for healing and growth. As the field continues to evolve, their legacies serve as a reminder of what can be achieved when science and compassion come together. Protocol development and implementation. Neurofeedback protocols are the guiding frameworks that enable practitioners to deliver effective brain training tailored to individual needs. These protocols are not merely technical procedures, but thoughtfully designed methodologies that integrate neuroscience, clinical expertise, and the art of human connection. In this section, we will delve deeply into the development and implementation of neurofeedback protocols, focusing on their theoretical foundations, practical applications, and transformative potential for a wide range of conditions. Alpha Theta Protocol, unlocking the depths of the subconscious. The Alpha Theta Protocol is one of the most profound tools in neurofeedback, renowned for its ability to access the subconscious mind, promote emotional healing, and unlock creativity. This protocol operates by shifting brainwave dominance from alpha waves, associated with relaxation, to theta waves, associated with deep introspection and imagination. By facilitating this transition, alpha-theta training creates a unique mental state akin to lucid dreaming or a waking dream. The roots of alpha-theta training can be traced back to the work of Eugene Peniston and Paul Kolkowski in the 1980s. Their groundbreaking research demonstrated the protocol's effectiveness in treating alcoholism. Participants not only achieved sobriety but also reported profound emotional insights and a renewed sense of purpose. These findings highlighted the protocol's potential for addressing not just the symptoms of addiction but also its underlying emotional drivers. In practice, alpha-theta training begins with the client reclining in a comfortable chair, often with eyes closed, to facilitate relaxation. Auditory feedback, such as soothing tones or rhythmic music, signals shifts in brainwave activity. As alpha waves give way to theta, clients often report vivid imagery, emotional catharsis, or memories resurfacing. These experiences provide a therapeutic opportunity to process unresolved trauma or gain clarity on life challenges. The protocol's applications extend far beyond addiction. It has been used to address anxiety, depression, PTSD, and even enhance performance in artists and athletes. For example, writers and musicians often use alpha theta training to overcome creative blocks, tapping into the fertile ground of their subconscious for inspiration. Similarly, individuals recovering from trauma can reframe painful memories in a safe and controlled environment, reducing their emotional charge and fostering resilience. However, the process is not without its challenges. Delving into the subconscious can evoke intense emotional responses, such as grief, anger, or fear. Skilled practitioners are essential to guide clients through these experiences, ensuring they feel supported and empowered. This requires a combination of clinical expertise, emotional intelligence, and the ability to create a trusting therapeutic relationship. The selection of training frequencies is also important. Simply training at 8 to 12 Hz alpha and 4 to 8 Hz theta has been found to lack the necessary precision and often leads to unwanted emotional and psychological reactions, as well as traumatic recall events known as abreactions. Rewarding a frequency at the border between alpha and theta, specifically 6 to 8 or 6 to 9 Hz, has been found to encourage the desirable state while limiting negative responses. Concurrently, inhibiting frequencies of 2 to 6 Hz and 10 or 12 to 36 Hz helps to alert clients when they drift into a state that is too slow, eliciting trauma recall, or too fast, associated with worry and/or rumination. Technological advancements have enhanced the precision and efficacy of alpha-theta training. Modern neurofeedback systems provide detailed real-time data on brainwave activity, enabling practitioners to fine-tune protocols to individual needs. Additionally, the integration of guided imagery, meditation scripts, and even virtual reality environments has made the protocol more immersive and engaging. Despite its transformative potential, alpha-theta training is not a standalone solution. It works best when integrated into a broader therapeutic framework. For instance, combining neurofeedback with cognitive behavioral therapy can help clients translate the insights gained during sessions into actionable steps for personal growth and development. Similarly, mindfulness practices can reinforce the relaxation and self-awareness cultivated through alpha-theta training. The future of alpha-theta training lies in its ability to adapt to emerging technologies and research findings. As our understanding of brainwave dynamics deepens, practitioners can develop even more personalized protocols that cater to specific goals and conditions. Innovations like AI-driven neurofeedback and wearable EEG devices may also make the protocol more accessible, bringing its benefits to a wider audience. In conclusion, the alpha-theta protocol stands as a cornerstone of neurofeedback practice. Its ability to facilitate deep emotional healing, enhance creativity, and unlock the subconscious makes it a powerful tool for personal transformation. However, its success depends on skilled implementation, client readiness, and integration with complementary therapies to ensure lasting change. Slow cortical potential training, harnessing neural self-regulation. Slow cortical potential, SCP, training represents a distinct approach in neurofeedback, focusing on the regulation of slow electrical brain activity shifts. These shifts, which occur over seconds rather than milliseconds, reflect the brain's ability to modulate states of arousal, attention, and readiness. By teaching clients to control SCPs, practitioners can address conditions ranging from epilepsy to ADHD, migraines, and even mood disorders. The foundational principle of SCP training is its ability to target cortical excitability. Positive SCP shifts are associated with increased cortical inhibition, which promotes relaxation and reduces overstimulation. Conversely, negative SCP shifts reflect heightened cortical excitation, which is beneficial for tasks that require focus and alertness. By training clients to modulate these shifts, SCP training offers a powerful means of enhancing self-regulation. In the context of epilepsy, SCP training has shown remarkable promise. Individuals with drug-resistant epilepsy often experience excessive cortical excitation, which triggers seizures. SCP training helps these individuals learn to increase cortical inhibition, reducing seizure frequency and severity. Long-term studies have demonstrated sustained benefits, with some participants achieving complete seizure control. Beyond epilepsy, SCP training is widely used for ADHD. Children with ADHD often struggle with dysregulated arousal, leading to difficulties in sustaining attention and controlling impulses. SCP training addresses these challenges by teaching children to activate positive or negative shifts as needed, enhancing their ability to focus and self-regulate. Parents frequently report improvements in academic performance, emotional stability, and family dynamics. One of the most compelling aspects of SCP training is its emphasis on client agency. Unlike some neurofeedback protocols that rely heavily on external feedback, SCP training encourages clients to develop an internal sense of control over their brain activity. This process fosters a sense of empowerment and self-efficacy, which extends beyond the training sessions to other areas of life. Implementing SCP training requires careful planning and precision. Practitioners begin by assessing the client's baseline cortical activity, often using QEG data to identify patterns of dysregulation. They then design individualized protocols, selecting electrode placements and feedback modalities tailored to the client's goals. Real-time visual or auditory feedback is used to guide the training process, allowing clients to monitor their progress and adjust their strategies. The success of SCP training also hinges on client engagement. The process often involves multiple sessions over weeks or months, and progress may be gradual. Practitioners must set realistic expectations, provide consistent encouragement, and adapt protocols as needed to maintain motivation. For children, incorporating game-like elements into feedback can make the training more enjoyable and engaging. Despite its potential, SCP training is not without challenges. The protocol demands a high level of precision, both in the equipment used and the practitioner's methodology. Even minor errors in electrode placement or feedback calibration can impact the effectiveness of training. This underscores the importance of thorough training and certification for practitioners. Advances in technology are enhancing the accessibility and effectiveness of SCP training. Portable neurofeedback devices and cloud-based platforms are making it easier for clients to continue their training at home, extending the benefits of SCP modulation beyond the clinic. These innovations hold promise for reaching underserved populations and integrating SCP training into broader healthcare systems. Looking ahead, SCP training is poised to play an increasingly important role in the future of neurofeedback. Its focus on self-regulation aligns with the growing emphasis on holistic and client-centered care. By empowering individuals to take control of their brain activity, SCP training offers a pathway to greater mental and emotional well-being. In summary, slow cortical potential training is a versatile and transformative tool in neurofeedback practice. Its applications in epilepsy, ADHD, and other conditions demonstrate its potential to improve lives. However, its success depends on skilled implementation, client commitment, and ongoing innovation to meet the evolving needs of diverse populations. Clinical database development. The development and utilization of clinical databases have revolutionized the field of neurofeedback, enabling practitioners to refine their protocols, improve accuracy in treatment planning, and enhance client outcomes. Clinical databases serve as repositories of EEG data, providing valuable insights into patterns of brain activity associated with various conditions. This section delves into the significance of clinical versus normative databases, the contributions of key practitioners, and how these databases continue to shape neurofeedback practice. Clinical versus normative databases. A central distinction in neurofeedback lies between clinical and normative databases, each serving unique purposes in the design and application of protocols. Clinical databases are derived from individuals presenting with specific neurological or psychological conditions, while normative databases represent a reference group of individuals considered neurotypical. Understanding this distinction is vital for practitioners seeking to apply neurofeedback effectively. Clinical databases focus on identifying patterns of dysregulation within specific populations. For example, in a clinical database of individuals with ADHD, Common patterns might include excessive theta activity in frontal regions or an elevated theta/beta ratio. By analyzing these patterns, practitioners can create targeted protocols designed to address the hallmark dysregulations associated with the condition. This approach ensures that neurofeedback is not only general, but also directly responsive to the client's specific challenges. On the other hand, normative databases serve as benchmarks, providing comparisons against typical brain activity across various demographic factors, including age and gender. When a client's EEG data is assessed against a normative database, deviations from the average can highlight areas of potential dysregulation. This can be particularly useful for clients without a clear diagnosis but who report symptoms such as anxiety, brain fog, or poor focus. The normative approach allows practitioners to identify subtle imbalances that might otherwise go unnoticed. The choice between clinical and normative databases often depends on the practitioner's goals and the client's presenting concerns. Clinical databases excel in conditions with well-documented neural signatures, such as epilepsy or PTSD. In contrast, normative databases are invaluable for optimizing overall brain function, as they provide a holistic view of deviations from typical patterns. However, each database type has limitations. Clinical databases, while condition-specific, may not account for individual variability within the population. Similarly, normative databases may overlook culturally or contextually specific differences, potentially leading to the over-pathologizing of deviations that are actually normative within certain groups. Practitioners must balance these considerations, often integrating both clinical and normative data to inform their protocols. The integration of these databases has led to the rise of hybrid approaches in neurofeedback. For example, practitioners might use a normative database to establish baseline deviations and a clinical database to tailor interventions based on specific conditions. This dual approach ensures that protocols are both comprehensive and targeted, maximizing their effectiveness. The ongoing development of databases continues to enhance neurofeedback's precision. Advances in machine learning and data analytics are enabling the creation of dynamic databases that evolve with new data inputs. These systems can identify trends and correlations that static databases might overlook, paving the way for more adaptive and personalized neurofeedback interventions. Ultimately, the distinction between clinical and normative databases highlights the diversity and adaptability of neurofeedback as a discipline. By leveraging the strengths of both approaches, practitioners can offer interventions that are scientifically grounded, individually tailored, and highly effective. Contributions of key practitioners. The field of neurofeedback has been shaped by the vision and dedication of a handful of pioneering practitioners who recognize the transformative potential of clinical databases. These individuals not only contributed to the development and refinement of databases, but also advanced the science and practice of neurofeedback as a whole. Their work highlights the intersection of innovation, clinical expertise, and a commitment to improving lives. Peter Van Dusen is one of the most influential figures in neurofeedback, particularly in the democratization of neurofeedback tools. As the founder of the learning curve, Van Dusen introduced a system that integrates EEG data with practical training methodologies, making neurofeedback accessible to a broader range of practitioners. His approach focused on empowering practitioners to understand and interpret clinical data effectively, regardless of their level of experience. Van Dusen's contributions are rooted in his belief that neurofeedback should be both scientifically rigorous and widely accessible. By providing user-friendly tools and training resources, he has enabled countless practitioners to bring the benefits of neurofeedback to their clients. Van Dusen's emphasis on adaptability is evident in his work with clinical databases. He recognized early on that rigid, one-size-fits-all protocols were insufficient for addressing the complex needs of diverse populations. Instead, he championed the use of clinical databases to tailor interventions to each client's unique EEG profile. This individualized approach has become a hallmark of modern neurofeedback, ensuring that protocols are not only effective but also deeply personalized. Van Dusen's legacy is a reminder that neurofeedback is as much about understanding the individual as it is about interpreting the data. Richard Suter is another trailblazer whose contributions to neurofeedback databases have had a profound impact on the field. Suter's work focused on the development of clinical QEG assessments, emphasizing the importance of pattern recognition in understanding brain activity. By identifying specific EEG patterns associated with various conditions, Suter laid the groundwork for a more systematic approach to protocol development. His research demonstrated how subtle changes in brainwave activity could correlate with symptoms of anxiety, depression, ADHD, and other disorders, providing practitioners with actionable insights for designing effective interventions. One of Suter's most significant contributions is his role in translating complex neurofeedback concepts into accessible tools for practitioners. He developed software systems that allow users to analyze QEG data with greater precision and clarity, bridging the gap between raw data and clinical application. These tools have become indispensable for practitioners seeking to leverage the full potential of clinical databases. Suter's work reflects a deep understanding of both the science of neurofeedback and the practical needs of those who implement it. John Demos has further enriched the field through his comprehensive approach to database integration. Demos is known for his emphasis on combining clinical and normative data to create a more holistic picture of brain function. By bridging these two approaches, he has helped practitioners design protocols that are not only condition-specific, but also aligned with broader benchmarks of brain health. This dual focus ensures that interventions address both the client's immediate challenges and their long-term well-being. Demos has also been a vocal advocate for evidence-based practice in neurofeedback. He has written extensively on the importance of rigorous assessment and the use of validated tools to guide treatment. His publications serve as both a resource and an inspiration for practitioners striving to deliver the highest standard of care. Demos's work underscores the importance of integrating scientific rigor with clinical intuition, creating a balanced approach to neurofeedback that is both effective and adaptable. John Anderson is another key figure whose contributions have advanced the use of technology in neurofeedback databases. Anderson recognized early on the potential of emerging technologies, such as neuroimaging and machine learning, to enhance the precision and efficiency of neurofeedback. His work is focused on developing platforms that provide real-time feedback, adaptive protocols, and advanced data visualization. These innovations have made it easier for practitioners to interpret complex EEG data and tailor their interventions with greater accuracy. Another early proponent of the clinical database approach is Paul Swingle, who developed the Clinical Cue Assessment as a symptom-targeted assessment tool utilizing an extensive history and experience with EEG analysis. This site-specific EEG information is combined with client-specific inputs focused on age, circumstance, and environment, and other epigenetic influences. The final analysis is performed by highly trained and skilled practitioners who can integrate this analysis into an optimal training program. His clinical cue assessment is used by hundreds of clinics worldwide. The collective contributions of these practitioners highlight the dynamic and collaborative nature of neurofeedback. Each has brought a unique perspective to the field, from Van Dusen's focus on practitioner training to Suter's advancements in QEG analysis, Demos's integration of clinical and normative data, Anderson's technological innovations, and Swingle's comprehensive assessment and training approach. Together, they have laid the foundation for a field that is both scientifically robust and deeply client-centered. Looking ahead, the legacy of these pioneers will continue to influence the evolution of neurofeedback. As new technologies emerge and our understanding of the brain deepens, future practitioners will build on their work to develop even more effective and personalized interventions. The emphasis on database development and integration ensures that neurofeedback will remain at the forefront of mental health care, offering hope and healing to countless individuals. Their contributions also serve as a reminder of the importance of interdisciplinary collaboration in advancing the field of neurofeedback. By bringing together insights from neuroscience, psychology, bioengineering, and clinical practice, these practitioners have created a field that is greater than the sum of its parts. Their work highlights the importance of curiosity, innovation, and a dedication to enhancing the human condition. In summary, the contributions of Peter Van Dusen, Richard Suter, John Demos, John Anderson, and Paul Swingle have been instrumental in shaping the field of neurofeedback. Their efforts to develop and refine clinical databases, train practitioners, and integrate cutting-edge technologies have transformed how neurofeedback is practiced and understood. As the field continues to evolve, their legacy will inspire future generations to push the boundaries of what is possible, ensuring that neurofeedback remains a powerful tool for healing and transformation. Shaping the future of neurofeedback practice. The role of clinical databases in neurofeedback practice extends beyond data collection, representing a paradigm shift in how practitioners approach brain training. By providing a structured framework for understanding brain activity, these databases enable more precise, personalized, and effective interventions. The future of neurofeedback practice lies in the continued refinement and application of these tools. One area of growth is the integration of artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning into database development. AI systems can analyze vast amounts of EEG data, identifying patterns and correlations that human practitioners might miss. For example, machine learning algorithms can predict how specific EEG patterns are likely to respond to different neurofeedback protocols, allowing for more targeted interventions. This level of precision holds promise for improving outcomes, particularly for complex conditions such as autism spectrum disorder or chronic pain. Another promising development is the use of wearable EEG devices to collect data in real-world settings. These devices allow clients to record their brain activity during everyday tasks, providing a richer and more dynamic dataset than what can be captured in a clinical setting. By incorporating this data into clinical databases, practitioners can design protocols that reflect the client's actual environment and challenges, enhancing the relevance and effectiveness of training. The expansion of global neurofeedback networks is also enhancing the utility of clinical databases. By pooling data from practitioners worldwide, these networks create larger and more diverse datasets, thereby improving the generalizability of their findings. This collaborative approach fosters innovation and ensures that neurofeedback remains responsive to the needs of a global population. Ethical considerations are paramount as clinical databases continue to evolve. Issues such as data privacy, consent, and equitable access must be addressed to ensure that the benefits of neurofeedback are shared responsibly. Practitioners and researchers must work together to establish guidelines that protect clients' rights while advancing the field. In education and training, clinical databases are becoming indispensable tools for new practitioners. By studying real-world data, trainees can develop a deeper understanding of how EEG patterns relate to behavior and how to design effective protocols. This hands-on experience not only builds confidence, but also ensures that the next generation of practitioners is well-equipped to meet the challenges of neurofeedback practice. Finally, the integration of clinical databases with other health technologies, such as electronic health records and biofeedback systems, is creating a more holistic approach to mental and physical health. By connecting neurofeedback data with information about a client's overall health, practitioners can design interventions that address both the brain and body, paving the way for more comprehensive care. In summary, the development of clinical databases is transforming neurofeedback practice, making it more precise, personalized, and accessible. By embracing innovation and collaboration, the field is poised to expand its impact, improving lives through the power of brain training. Challenges and future directions. The field of neurofeedback has grown rapidly over the last few decades, driven by advances in neuroscience, technology, and clinical practice. However, this growth has not been without obstacles. Practitioners and researchers alike face significant challenges that must be addressed to further validate and expand the field. These challenges include the technical complexities of EEG interpretation, balancing normative and clinical approaches, and addressing the broader skepticism of neurofeedback within the medical community. At the same time, the future of neurofeedback is bright, with promising innovations on the horizon that hold the potential to overcome these obstacles and enhance the field's accessibility and efficacy. Artifacts in EEG, navigating technical complexities. One of the most persistent challenges in neurofeedback is the presence of artifacts in EEG recordings. EEG data is highly sensitive, capturing not only neural activity, but also a wide range of non-neural signals. These artifacts can arise from a variety of sources, including muscle movements, eye blinks, electrical interference, and even the client's posture. While these extraneous signals are often unintentional, they can significantly distort the data, making it difficult for practitioners to interpret the EEG accurately and design effective protocols. Artifacts are particularly problematic because they can mimic or mask real neural activity. For example, muscle tension in the forehead can create signals that resemble beta waves, potentially leading to inaccurate assessments of the client's brain activity. Similarly, eye blinks can introduce high-amplitude signals that disrupt the recording of slower brainwave frequencies, such as alpha or theta. Without careful pre-processing and artifact correction, these distortions can compromise the reliability of neurofeedback interventions. Practitioners employ several strategies to address these challenges. One common approach is to use advanced signal processing techniques, such as independent component analysis, ICA, to separate neural activity from artifacts. This allows practitioners to isolate the brain's true signals and exclude irrelevant noise. Additionally, many neurofeedback systems now include automated artifact detection algorithms that flag problematic segments of EEG data for review, improving the accuracy of assessments. Despite these advancements, the presence of artifacts remains a significant obstacle for less experienced practitioners. Proper artifact management requires both technical expertise and clinical judgment, as practitioners must decide how to address anomalies without overcorrecting and inadvertently removing meaningful neural signals. This highlights the importance of comprehensive training and ongoing education in neurofeedback. Client factors also contribute to the challenge of artifacts. Children, for example, may struggle to remain still during sessions, leading to frequent movement-related artifacts. Similarly, individuals with conditions such as anxiety or ADHD may find it difficult to relax, resulting in muscle tension that distorts the EEG. Practitioners must develop strategies to help clients minimize these effects, such as using relaxation techniques or adjusting electrode placement to reduce interference. The future of artifact management and neurofeedback is likely to involve continued advancements in technology. Real-time artifact rejection systems, wearable EEG devices with improved signal-to-noise ratios, and machine learning algorithms capable of distinguishing between neural and non-neural signals hold great promise. These innovations could make EEG interpretation more reliable and accessible, reducing the burden on practitioners and enhancing the accuracy of neurofeedback. Ultimately, addressing artifacts in EEG is not just a technical challenge, but a critical step in advancing the credibility and effectiveness of neurofeedback. By ensuring that interventions are based on accurate data, practitioners can deliver more meaningful and lasting results to their clients. Balancing normative and clinical approaches. Another major challenge in neurofeedback is striking the right balance between normative and clinical approaches to EEG assessment and protocol development. Normative databases provide a benchmark for comparing an individual's brain activity to that of a neurotypical population. In contrast, clinical approaches focus on identifying and addressing patterns of dysregulation associated with specific conditions. Each method has its strengths and limitations, and integrating the two requires careful consideration. Normative databases are invaluable for identifying deviations from typical brain function, particularly in clients without a clear diagnosis. For example, a client presenting with general complaints of brain fog or poor focus may benefit from a normative assessment that highlights subtle imbalances in theta or beta activity. By targeting these deviations, practitioners can design protocols that aim to optimize overall brain function, even in the absence of a specific disorder. However, normative approaches are not without limitations. One of the most significant concerns is the potential for overpathologizing. Variability in brain activity is normal and can be influenced by factors such as age, culture, and individual differences. Relying solely on normative data may lead practitioners to label benign variations as problematic, resulting in unnecessary interventions. Clinical approaches, on the other hand, offer a condition-specific lens that is particularly valuable for addressing well-documented disorders. For example, Individuals with ADHD often exhibit a high theta/beta ratio, while those with anxiety may show excessive beta activity. By focusing on these patterns, clinical approaches enable practitioners to tailor interventions directly to the client's presenting symptoms. This specificity is one of the key strengths of clinical databases. The challenge arises when practitioners must decide which approach to prioritize. For clients with clear diagnostic profiles, clinical databases may take precedence, as they provide targeted insights into the condition. For those without a specific diagnosis, normative data may serve as a starting point for identifying areas of dysregulation. However, these scenarios are rarely clear-cut, and most clients benefit from an integrative approach that incorporates both perspectives. Practitioners must also consider the client's goals and expectations when choosing an approach. Some clients seek neurofeedback to address specific symptoms, such as insomnia or migraines, while others are interested in enhancing overall cognitive performance. Tailoring the assessment and protocol development process to align with these goals is essential for achieving client satisfaction and success. The future of neurofeedback lies in the integration of normative and clinical data through advanced technologies. Hybrid databases that combine the strengths of both approaches are already being developed, offering practitioners a more comprehensive view of brain function. Additionally, machine learning algorithms capable of analyzing large datasets may help identify nuanced patterns that bridge the gap between normative and clinical perspectives. As the field evolves, practitioners must remain flexible and open to new methods of assessment and protocol development. By embracing the complementary strengths of normative and clinical approaches, they can provide interventions that are both precise and holistic, meeting the diverse needs of their clients. Overcoming skepticism and building a robust evidence base. Despite its growing popularity, neurofeedback continues to face skepticism within the broader medical and scientific communities. Critics often point to the variability in outcomes, the lack of standardized protocols, and the reliance on small sample sizes in research studies as reasons for caution. Addressing these concerns is essential for advancing the credibility and acceptance of neurofeedback as a mainstream therapeutic modality. One of the primary challenges in building a robust evidence base for neurofeedback is the inherent variability in human brain function. No two brains are exactly alike, and individuals respond differently to the same intervention. While this variability underscores the need for personalized approaches, it also complicates efforts to conduct large-scale, controlled studies that yield generalizable findings. Another obstacle is the perception that neurofeedback lacks sufficient scientific validation. While numerous studies have demonstrated its efficacy for conditions such as ADHD, epilepsy, and anxiety, critics argue that many of these studies are limited by methodological flaws. For example, some studies fail to include placebo or sham neurofeedback conditions, making it difficult to rule out the influence of expectation effects. To address these concerns, researchers are increasingly adopting rigorous methodologies, such as randomized controlled trials, RCTs, with larger sample sizes and longer follow-up periods. These studies are helping to clarify the conditions under which neurofeedback is most effective and identify best practices for implementation. Additionally, advances in neuroimaging are providing objective evidence of the neural changes associated with neurofeedback, further bolstering its scientific credibility. Education and advocacy also play a critical role in overcoming skepticism. Practitioners must be transparent about the strengths and limitations of neurofeedback, providing clients with realistic expectations and evidence-based information. Collaborations with medical professionals, such as neurologists and psychiatrists, can help bridge the gap between neurofeedback and conventional healthcare, fostering greater acceptance and integration. Looking ahead, the development of standardized protocols and guidelines will be essential for addressing variability and ensuring consistency in neurofeedback practice. Professional organizations, such as the International Society for Neurofeedback and Research, ISNR, are already working to establish these standards, promoting ethical and effective practice across the field. Despite these challenges, the future of neurofeedback is promising. Emerging technologies, such as wearable EEG devices and cloud-based platforms, are making neurofeedback more accessible and scalable. These innovations, combined with ongoing research and education, will help establish neurofeedback as a trusted and widely recognized intervention for mental health and cognitive enhancement. In conclusion, the challenges facing neurofeedback are not insurmountable. By addressing technical complexities, integrating diverse assessment approaches, and building a robust evidence base, the field can continue to grow and thrive. The future of neurofeedback lies in its ability to adapt, innovate, and collaborate, ensuring that it remains a powerful tool for improving lives. Neurofeedback is a dynamic and rapidly evolving field that merges neuroscience, technology, and clinical practice to promote self-regulation and mental well-being. Its development has been marked by significant milestones, challenges, and innovations that continue to shape its application and efficacy. Across all sections of this exploration, several key themes emerge, offering insight into the core principles and future directions of neurofeedback. At its foundation, neurofeedback relies on well-structured protocols to guide interventions. These protocols, such as alpha theta training and slow cortical potential (SCP) training, are designed to target specific neural processes, helping clients regulate brain activity to address conditions like anxiety, ADHD, and epilepsy. Alpha theta training, for instance, facilitates access to the subconscious, enabling profound emotional healing and creativity. SCP training, on the other hand, empowers clients to modulate cortical excitation and inhibition, enhancing focus and resilience. Both approaches highlight the field's commitment to precision and adaptability, tailoring interventions to the unique needs of each individual. The history of neurofeedback underscores the contributions of pioneering researchers who laid the groundwork for modern practice. Figures like Joe Kamiya and Barry Sternman demonstrated the brain's capacity for self-regulation, while others, such as Joel Luber and Margaret Ayers, developed targeted protocols for specific conditions. Their work provided the scientific and clinical foundation for neurofeedback, establishing its potential as a transformative therapeutic tool. These pioneers also emphasized the importance of evidence-based practice, setting a standard for rigorous research and thoughtful application. One of the most impactful advancements in neurofeedback has been the development of clinical and normative databases. These repositories of EEG data enable practitioners to design protocols based on either typical brain activity, normative, or condition-specific patterns, clinical. While clinical databases excel in addressing well-documented disorders, normative databases offer benchmarks for optimizing overall brain function. The integration of these approaches has led to more comprehensive and individualized interventions, ensuring that neurofeedback remains responsive to the diverse needs of clients. Despite its promise, neurofeedback faces significant challenges. Technical issues, such as the presence of artifacts in EEG recordings, can complicate the interpretation of brain activity and the design of effective protocols. Additionally, the field must navigate the balance between normative and clinical approaches, ensuring that interventions are both scientifically grounded and sensitive to individual differences. Broader skepticism within the medical community also persists, driven by variability in outcomes and the need for more standardized protocols and robust research. The future of neurofeedback is bright, with emerging technologies and innovations paving the way for greater accessibility and efficacy. Wearable EEG devices, machine learning algorithms, and cloud-based platforms are revolutionizing the delivery and analysis of neurofeedback. These advancements promise to enhance the precision of interventions, reduce barriers to entry, and expand the reach of neurofeedback to underserved populations. The contributions of key practitioners, such as Peter Van Dusen, Richard Suter, John Demos, John Anderson, and Paul Swingle, exemplify the field's collaborative and innovative spirit. Their work in database development, practitioner training, and technological integration has driven neurofeedback forward, making it a more effective and widely accessible tool. These pioneers have also emphasized the importance of ethical practice, client-centered care, and interdisciplinary collaboration, ensuring that neurofeedback continues to evolve in a responsible manner. In summary, neurofeedback represents a powerful convergence of science, technology, and clinical expertise. Its protocols, databases, and applications demonstrate its capacity to address a wide range of mental health and cognitive challenges. While obstacles remain, the field's adaptability and commitment to innovation position it for continued growth and impact. By building on its rich history and embracing future advancements, neurofeedback holds the potential to transform lives, empowering individuals to take control of their brain health and achieve greater well-being.